Welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. I'm Chuck Mead.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Autry.
Jeremy, who do we got with us in the studio, in person?
In person, live in the Beyond a Parent podcast studios. We have Pastor James and Miss Jenny Neal. I feel like she needs a title, too.
She does have a title. We've had James a few times, many times by now, I would say.
Yeah, I think twice.
Okay, many. And but Jenny, this is your first time. Welcome.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
James and Jenny are married, and in case you missed the other episodes with him on, James serves on staff here at Central with Chuck and I. He is our education pastor.
James has been on staff at Central for how many years?
47 years. I was an intern for 3.5 years. And then this coming January, actually, I'll be on staff full-time for 20 years.
Wow.
I was close. Ooh. It was half. I said half. That's I mean, great. Twice what?
Anyway. Fantastic. And you guys have been married how long?
We have been married.
This was not on the sheet of questions.
Jason's like, I didn't know you were going to ask me.
We have been married for 23 years.
23 years.
23 years.
That is amazing.
July 14th, 2001. I do know the date. I just didn't want to do the math really quickly.
That's okay. That's okay. And so if you've been listening long, last year we interviewed Darren and Margie Hughes, and they shared their adoption story. And James and Jenny also have three wonderful children. Do you guys want to share their names and ages?
Yes. Our oldest is Logan, and he is 16. Megan is 11, and Gavin is 4.
Gavin's awesome. He's hanging out with Wyatt right now. That's my son.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So they're having a great time.
Just the two of them?
Katie's with them, I'm sure.
I was excited.
Charlie should be there, too. James and Jenny, we wanted to interview guys so you can share your adoption story. Adoption is a big part of our church. It's something that we love to hear adoption stories. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel. And so as much as you guys feel comfortable sharing, what circumstances led you to initially choose adoption?
Well, we were married in 2001, and we were quite content at that time to just be the two of us. And then as time went on, things started to change, and we wanted to start a family with children. One of the big things that happened in our life was the birth of Dylan Autry.
Aww.
Because for me, having a child was very theoretical. It was very just an idea. I didn't have any experience with babies. I really wasn't around any. And so when Dylan was born, that kind of made this idea become concrete, and Dylan is so awesome that I was like, we need to have a Dylan of our own.
I think what you need to hear is James thought, if Jeremy can do this, anybody can do this. Let's have kids.
And so we started down, like we just started to say, hey, we want to have a family. And the problem was, if you want to call it a problem, is that Jenny couldn't get pregnant. And so after, you know, just trying, we decided to go down a different road.
At that time, we went and we had a friend who had taken medicine, and that helped her to be able to conceive. And so we thought, well, I guess this is kind of our next step. So we went to the doctor, and I started taking a medicine that was hopefully going to help us get pregnant. But after taking that for a while, probably close to a year, it was not working. So we knew that that was not going to be the route.
So then we went back to the doctor. They referred us to a fertility specialist. And we went there, and just interesting conversations, interesting doctor. He was just unique. He was good, just unique, and went through testing. And during that testing, they just basically said there are very limited options for you to try to get pregnant. But they laid out a roadmap, if you will, and we started going down that roadmap. We started doing treatments. Jenny took shots. on a regular basis. It was very interesting. A funny story is, you know, those shots are full of hormones, and Jenny had a reaction to them, and they were a very strong reaction. And I remember one night she's told me, she's like, James, it is burning up in this house. You have got to put the air lower. And I was like, really? She's like, yes. And so I was like, okay, I'll go do it. And I went to the thermostat, and this is not a joke, it was 60 degrees.
Oh, wow.
In our house. And I was like, So I think I turned on the air to go down to maybe 59. But it was very interesting during those times. And so from there.
So from there, we were on those treatments, and we found out through the first cycle of those treatments, I was pregnant. So after all of those many years of not being able to get pregnant, we finally saw a positive pregnancy test, and we were absolutely ecstatic about that. So I was feeling good, and we followed up with the doctor, and he, after a certain number of weeks, he said, okay, I don't need to see you anymore. You can just go back to your regular doctor. And so that's what we did.
And we went there, and everything was fine. In fact, I remember they took us to the office. They said, you're past 10 weeks. You're out of the woods. There's nothing that you need to worry about anymore. And then it was just a little bit of time after that that things started happening, and we ended up losing that child. Mm-hmm. And I remember there's a lot of memories associated with that. I can tell you where I was when Jenny called me. She had to go to the doctor by herself, and I can just remember a lot of that, a lot of that pain and a lot of that hurt. And from there, we were thinking, well, let's try again. You have to wait a certain amount of time before they let you start another round. And so we did just that. We waited, went through it again, and we got another positive pregnancy test. And this time it was around Christmas time. And I remember we went down home and Florida and told them, and it wasn't long after that that we also lost that pregnancy.
Mm.
And we came back to the fertility doc, and basically he said, we tried all these things. The last option you have left is in vitro. And he said, it's either that or adoption. And so we were like, well, we need to think through this. We need to pray about this. For me, this had been such a long journey, and we're talking about everything that we kind of just summarized in about a paragraph was years.
Mm.
From trying on our own to trying with just the medicine to the treatments. And I had saw the toll that it had taken on my wife physically and mentally. And we were just trying to really pray through what is our next step. And it's amazing how God opens up things, how God uses things in your past. Because if I can back up to 2004, I had to look up the date, but it was 2004. I delivered bread because, you know, this during the bread delivery days, when somebody comes and visits the church, we would go deliver bread. And I went and delivered bread to Jimmy Coates. Mm. And going to be a doorstep visit, and he invited me in. He sat me down on the couch, and we had a conversation that lasted probably 45 minutes.
Wow.
And during that conversation, he shared his story of how God had led him to adoption through his two oldest kids. And I remember sitting there thinking, I don't know why I'm hearing this right now. This was in the beginning of our journey, and I was thinking, this doesn't really pertain to me. I mean, this is great that he's telling me the story and how God worked in his life and how God brought him to adoption. But then fast forward to years later, and I see that God was even preparing me personally to take that step into, yes, we are going to adopt.
Yes. And so it was, you know, going between in vitro and adoption, and it did not take long for me to have an overwhelming sense of peace that adoption is the way that we should go.
And you're going to notice a trend throughout all of our stories that it seems like Jenny gets there a lot faster. And I'm the one that is hesitant, lagging behind, trying to catch up with her and God.
Jenny's just more spiritual than you are. Amen to that.
That's great. So all those things, and then God gave you peace about adoption and all the time that it took to that point. And then so you're in this now like, okay, this is the path, but what made you choose your specific adoption agency? Did you use the same one for both Logan and Megan?
Okay. Yes. Yes, we did. It's such an overwhelming thing. Okay, we're going to adopt. Now what? So we knew, the thing that we knew in the beginning is that we needed an adoption agency. So I basically just did a bunch of research and just looked up, you know, Christian. We wanted to work with a Christian agency, and we wanted the agency to not be super far away from us because we wanted to be able to go and look them in the eye and talk to them. We had a lot of questions and a lot going on in our minds. And so that was kind of our criteria when we started was, we want them to be close by, and we want them to be a Christian agency. So in my research, one of the very first that I came across was Amazing Grace Adoptions in Raleigh, North Carolina. And first of all, you know, the name will get you Amazing Grace, you know, a very Christian title. And I kind of just looked at their website, and I really liked what I saw there. And so I basically just picked up the phone. And I called them, and it just so happened, you can say it just so happened, that the director of the agency, Donis, answered the phone. And I told her our story just in brief and where we were at. And she told me about Amazing Grace Adoptions. And all I can say is when I hung up the phone that day, I had such a perfect peace that this was the agency that we were going to be going with.
And we had to even decide with the agency, what type of adoption are we going for? Like you talked about Darren and Marky being on here. They went the route of international adoption. Mm-hmm. And when we were praying about it and even dealing with the agency, we were just trying to see, you know, is this something that we're going to be a local? Are we going to try to do international? And it's a process again. And through it all, God just kind of confirmed, you know, this will be the place that you're going to adopt through and in, like in this area.
Okay. So this is, you get the piece of Amazing Grace Adoptions. What year would you say that you started that process?
I think it was 2006, if I am correct.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to do the math in my head about, yes, I think that's right. 2006 was when we started working with Amazing Grace Adoptions.
Okay. And Logan is born, what year?
2008.
Okay.
And we can tell that story.
Yes. So let's go through this process first of adopting Logan.
So this is our first adoption. And once you pick your agency, all the work starts, and there's a lot of work. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things that you have to get in line and organized. A ton of paperwork. And I keep saying paperwork because anybody that's adopted will tell you there's a ton of paperwork. And we started that process out, and you have to have a home study, which will have to be done with a social worker, which will basically be what you have to have in place so that you can be considered for adoption. So when you first start out, you're just trying to get that home study done. And saying home study makes you think it's just about your actual home. It's not. It's like your whole life. And as we were working through that process, we got contacted by our social worker who we were going to work with, who has the best name ever. And her name is Cat Midget.
Wow.
Yeah, Katrina Midget, and she goes by Kat. And wow. So we got contacted by Kat Midget, our social worker, which this was just helping me, you know. So this was like very cool. So we get contacted by her. We get contacted by her, and she wants to meet us to do some interviews because this is all part of the process. And we meet in Bergall in a church on a Saturday. And she had us block out a certain amount of time, so many hours. And during that time, she interviews us. And she interviews us together. And then she also spends time just interviewing Jenny by herself and me by myself. And I was not ready for this process because they ask questions. They ask you about everything in your whole life, like everything you've done. They ask you about your past. They ask you about your family, your parents. They start asking you, what are the things that your parents did that were right? What are the things that your parents did that were wrong? Why would you change about the way that you were raised? And how will that affect the way that you will raise this child? And I'm like, oh, what, huh? I don't know. Like, you know, I was just not ready. And they, you know, start asking you, now that you, when you get to this child, how are you going to discipline them? What's your strategy? And I'm just thinking, I'm making this stuff up as I go because I'm just, you know.
It's kind of like that once you get your child.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, like, wait a minute, people have babies in hospitals and they don't have to go through this, you know. But it was good because it made you think about these things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to add anything about that process, Jenny, but it was good. And also during that time, this is when you start looking at, as you adopt, and this is going to sound weird, but what will you accept? And what are you looking for? And, you know, like, for instance, do you want a boy or a girl? And we're just like, either doesn't really matter. And like, we were open to, you know, different races. And they said, would you take twins? And we're like, yes. And they said, will you take triplets?
What if there's 10 righteous men? What if there's 5?
I cut the line at triplets because I was like, you know, with twins, we can work man-to-man. Triplets, you're playing zone, and it's a whole nother thing.
We'll interview Grant Wendy Walker about that.
So it was during that process, during that time that we were trying to nail down, you know, even if they have certain, you know, medical conditions, all those different things. And she was great. She really worked with us about, you know, you can't say yes to everything because it's a calling, something that you're called to. And if you're not called to, you know, raise a child in this situation, then don't say yes just because of guilt or that you're afraid of what people think about you. That's between you and the Lord. And I mean, there was just so much in that. I remember that day so well. I mean, they asked us, she said, what happens if you get a kid and 2 years later they get really sick? What are you going to do? I said, take them to the doctor. And they said, like, you want to try to, you know, do anything else? I was like, well, I'm not going to try to give them back. It's not a return policy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever God has for us is whatever God has for us. And so it was just going through that process was a big deal in getting the home study done and those interviews, which they also, Cat Midget had to come to our house as well. And Jenny can tell you just a little bit about how that went.
Yeah. So you hear sometimes you're getting ready to have a home study and you just get a little bit anxious and you're doing extra cleaning and you're worried that they're going to get the white glove and, you know, make sure that you've dusted. But it was not like that at all. It was like a friend coming to our house. Mm-hmm. We just talked. And as she was leaving, she's like, oh, I guess I better look around just to, you know. Mm-hmm. So she peeked her head in the rooms. And, yeah, you know, basically a home study is just to make sure that it's a safe environment for the kid. And it made us a little bit anxious as well for that.
And so once that home study gets done, completed, it's ready to go. In our instance, you know, we made a book that signified our life. Like, this is who we are, with non-identifying marks. Like, we couldn't have our address or things that, you know, that identify where we were at.
Like, not even this is the city we live in or
right,
this is the church we attend or anything like
that. Right. It was all completely non-identifying. And Jenny scrapbooked, and she did a great job of putting together an awesome book. And basically, you hand them that, and you're just waiting. You'll see if a birth mother will pick you. And so we waited, you know, and then after that, we waited. And then after that, we waited some more.
So how long was this time period?
It was a year and 3 months of no word from the agency whatsoever.
Wow.
Yes, it was a long wait. But then, January 10th of 2008, we were getting ready for dinner, and we get a phone call. And did I answer it or you? I can't remember. I think I did. Yeah, it was me. And it was Donna's on the phone, and she said, "Is Jenny there too?" And I was like, "Yeah." And of course, this is back in the day when we actually had a home phone. And so we had
Chuck probably doesn't.
I know what that is.
These have these phones, Chuck. They were like inside your house, and you couldn't leave and put in your pocket. It was actually like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, it really was. Wild. It's like your house had its own cell phone. It was weird, Chuck.
What an amazing thing.
Yes.
Look how far we've come.
Well, we got Jenny on one phone and me on the other, and she was just asking us how things were, how things going.
Like, good,
great. And yes,
she was checking to make sure y'all were still together.
So then she said, just wanted to see if you wanted to come pick up your son tomorrow.
Wow.
And she, I think that's literally.
Tomorrow.
She said, yes, tomorrow. Oh, let's pick up your son tomorrow, which was a very flooring thing to hear.
Wow.
And of course, Jenny started asking questions as far as, you know, well, how big is he? Like all those things.
Is he ugly?
And we got all the information, and then we had a panic moment. It's basically, we had a nursery. We had a crib and stuff ready with a neutral kind of, because we didn't know if it was going to be a boy or
girl, yeah,
but like a neutral decorations. But then we realized there's a lot of things that we didn't have, like a car seat or bottles. And we're like, we need to go to Raleigh like right now. And so we started calling people. I remember we called our family and we start calling friends. And even as we were driving to Raleigh, we were calling people, letting them know. And then we get to Babies R Us. This is back when they had Babies R Us.
There used to be this store truck called Babies R Us.
Is it like Toys R Us?
Yes.
I remember that.
It is. And it was owned by the same company, but it was all baby stuff.
This is amazing.
Yes. It was cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gone now.
It's gone now.
It's a website now.
It's true.
Oops.
So we get there, and it was just funny talking to people, because like the guy who was trying to help us get a car seat, he was like, we had one that we saw that we're like, this is the one we want. He's like, well, we don't have it in stock, but it'll be available in 2 weeks, so it's fine. And I'm like, no, I need it tomorrow. I need it now for tomorrow. And we ended up having to borrow Joey Nicole Baines' car seat for the first week or two until that one came in. But I remember looking at all the different bottles and thinking, wow, I said, this is like the definition of irony. We have waited for over a year and now we have no time. It's like, we got to get going. So we got a bunch of stuff. We went home. Neither of us slept. I mean, and we get in the car in the morning to start heading that way. We go ahead and get up in Raleigh early just because of traffic. We're looking at baby clothes and the stores. We get a call from them. I freak out being a pessimist because I'm like, oh, they're calling to say something's wrong. And it was like, we just need to change the time. And so we show up. They greet us at the door.
Of the hospital, right?
Not the hospital. Okay. The agency.
Okay.
Of the agency. And I'm going to take a little time if that's all right. This is really cool how God works this out. We show up there, and of course, we have camcorders. We have cameras because they weren't all on our phones.
Chuck, they used to have phones that didn't have
video
recording and cameras on.
I'm in my 30s. I remember this.
I'm sorry.
So they greet us at the door, and they ask us for our cameras. And the reason why is they said, we have people that will video this for you. We have people that will take pictures for you. We don't want you to be walking in, meeting your son. The thing that you're concerned about is taking pictures and watching videos or making a video. So we said, okay. And they got all the stuff. They said, just give us a few moments so we can get ready. And then they took us to a door and they said, are you ready? It's like, yep. And so we open up the door, we walk in, and he's laying in a basket. And I remember Jenny walking in, and I'm behind her, and she picks them up, and there's people like videotaping it and taking pictures, and they do that for maybe a minute or two, and then they just leave. And they told us that they would do that. They said, we want you to have time with your son. And it was such a moment that you just don't forget. And I'll let Jenny talk about what she was thinking during that moment.
Well, it was just completely overwhelming. Yeah. You know, the answer to the prayer that we had prayed for years and years was right there in that baby boy, and just an overwhelming emotional just moment that we had, and just praising God for what he had done.
And then from there, you still have legal things that you have to do, and the way that they did it in this particular time is we went through an adoption ceremony where we took vows as Christian parents that we would love this child, that we would show them the gospel, that we would share with them the gospel, that we would be there for him through all things. It was very emotional, actually. And then we all sang Amazing Grace. And we got all the notes about like his care, because somebody had cared for him during that waiting period, because in North Carolina, there's a waiting period.
In North Carolina, the birth mother has 7 days to change her mind. Mm. So if they say, I'm going to put a baby up for adoption, after 7 days, that has to be confirmed. So they did not. The reason why we only had one day was because the birth mother, that window for her was up, and they wanted to make sure they didn't get our hopes up and that she would change her mind. They didn't think she would, but they were just putting a little extra layer of security on there for us.
So that's why it wasn't at the hospital.
Okay.
They had already secured the baby and had it for a week before they even called you.
Okay.
Right.
Correct. Yes. And there was a lady that they work with who was a nurse, was the one who cared for him like during that time frame. And she gave us all the notes of how he ate and all these different things. It was, and she was there to meet us and tell us. And just really a really special moment. I have never honestly been so scared to drive in my life than when we left there. And there, it turns into a story, which is a lot of things for me. But we were in the car trying to get onto 40, because this is Raleigh. Or it's 440. We were trying to get onto 440.
And James isn't normally high strung when he's driving.
And so I'm trying to merge on, and I can't. Like, it's just not working out. And I end up stopping before I join. And a painter truck, like a van, that guy, he's a painter in the van, like bumped me, and I started freaking out. I was like, this is so bad. I'm like, are you all right? And so I go out there, and the guy's like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm just so stressed out right now. I mean, I'm taking my baby home, and I just don't. And he's like, it's going to be okay, man. It's going to be all right.
I was excited.
That wasn't actually an angel in painter's clothes.
Well, and then what he did was he went ahead and went on 40 and stopped in the lane and put his flashers on so that I could get out.
How do I not remember this stuttering man?
And so, you know, we safely got Logan home. But I remember that night, I mean, we showed up in our house and we didn't know what we were doing with this baby because nobody told us. I mean, we had never fixed a bottle of formula before. And there's no nurse to tell you this is what's going on or this is what you do. And thankfully, through friends, we survived. And that first night was amazing. Jenny stayed up with him at first, and then I relieved her and took over. And I remember that night just sitting on my couch with him on my asleep on my chest. And I just remember thinking, this is my son who I love. And those passages from Romans and Galatians where it talks about us being adopted into God's family and how our hearts cries out, Abba. And I just remember thinking, this is not my adopted son.
Yeah.
This is my son. And if I, a fallen father, can think of my child like this, how much more can an infinitely loving, gracious, kind God love, accept me, and care for me? It was just one of those moments I almost, you know, shouted. And some and all those things, but I didn't do it because it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah. Don't want to do that.
That would be weird.
Wow. That's amazing. So this is 2008.
Right.
Little Logan. And then what led you to decide to adopt again?
What nonsense got into your mind?
Well, we knew we wanted a more than one child. That was something that we had both talked about. And I was ready earlier on to go ahead and get back on the list.
Because you're more spiritual than James.
No, because I knew that it might take a while. We would have to redo a lot of paperwork. And I was like, well, let's just go ahead and get back on. But James was a little bit slower on that and didn't want to get right back on the list again. So we did wait a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we called Amazing Grace back and said we would like to be on the list again. And we started the paperwork all over again.
I love it. Thank you guys for sitting down, being vulnerable with us, and for sharing your story.